Father, again, we just count it a privilege to open your word and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in this session, we ask you to give us keen insight, wisdom, guidance, and direction concerning the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. And Lord, we just thank you now for opening our understanding to this wonderful gift that is oftentimes misunderstood and misused in the church. And I pray that everyone that hears this word, this teaching, would have a greater appreciation for, a greater respect for, and a greater understanding of all of the gifts of the Spirit, and specifically the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:1, once again, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Verse 10 says, "And to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues." And in this is the New American Standard Version. The King James just simply calls it divers kinds of tongues. Divers meaning various kinds of tongues. Now, this first statement, and you should write these things down. I think this will help you greatly. This is one of the most misunderstood gifts of all of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this particular gift, divers kinds of tongues, it is not the initiatory tongue. When I say initiatory, I'm talking about the initiation or the initial experience that a person has when they are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives the utterance. This gift that we're talking about now of divers kinds of tongues is not the initiatory tongue wherein the believer receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, neither is it the devotional tongue in which we minister out of our spirit to the Lord. I'm telling you right in the beginning what this gift is not. And the reason I'm doing that is because they are so similar, because it all flows from the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial physical evidence of receiving the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is that you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. I know some will argue with that. Some theologians disagree with that. But biblically speaking, you cannot find one incidence in all of the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where anybody received the baptism in the Holy Spirit without speaking in other tongues. Every single person, without exception, spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, once you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, then that gift of the Spirit, gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I'm trying to distinguish between the nine ministry gifts, and one of those is divers kinds of tongues. The ability to speak in other tongues after you've received the Holy Spirit is a gift for praying devotional tongues where you will minister to the Lord. You will pray in other tongues. And this is indeed a devotional gift. And I'll break that down and make it as simple as I can here in the next few minutes. But there's a distinguishing between, and I'm not saying that there are three different things, but in a sense, there are different operations, different administrations, different manifestations. When a person receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they will speak in tongues. Now that you can speak in tongues, you will speak in prayer to the Lord in tongues. This ministry gift is when the Holy Spirit anoints you to speak out of your spirit in a public setting, in a congregational meeting, and it is a ministry gift that ministers to the congregation, and you had a demonstration of that here this evening. When Chris spoke in other tongues, he wasn't praying, he was bringing forth an utterance that needed to be and must be, according to the Scripture, linked with the other gift of the interpretation of divers kinds of tongues, which God gave that as well. If there was no interpreter, then in a proper setting where we do things decently and in order, he would not have given that utterance. He would have spoken to himself and to God. Now, let me continue again, repeating, this is not the initiatory tongue wherein the believer received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Neither is it the devotional tongue in which we minister out of our spirit to the Lord. It is a ministering tongue given to minister as a gift to the church. Now, hold on to that definition because it'll help you to understand as we share with you the experience of speaking in other tongues. Divers kinds of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned by the speaker, not understood by the mind of the speaker, nor necessarily always understood by the hearer. It is a supernatural gift. Speaking in tongues has nothing whatsoever to do with linguistic ability. It's not learning languages so you can go to foreign nations and preach the gospel in their native tongue. And that's what a lot of denominational congregations will tell you when it talks about gifts of tongues. They think it's a learning experience. It's something that you learn, that you work for, that you develop. It is not. It is a gift, and it is something that you cannot learn. You cannot teach somebody how to speak in other tongues. Over the years, I have prayed for literally thousands of people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. One of the things that the Lord instructed me to do a long time ago was that when I pray for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is to make them feel comfortable, is I lay hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit, and I will also pray in tongues while they're receiving that experience. But I make it very clear to them up front that they are not to try to mimic me or repeat what I'm saying, because God's going to give them their own tongue. But oftentimes people go, I don't know what to say, I don't know where to start. Well, you see, right there it tells you that they are thinking this is something that's going to come out of their mind, and because it's a new experience, people balk at it, people don't understand things, they just don't want to involve themselves. It's something that comes out of your spirit. It comes right out of your spirit. Just as Chris spoke an utterance in tongues, it came right out of his spirit. When the interpretation came, I didn't stand there for 5 or 10 minutes trying to think of something to say. I just opened my mouth and what was in my spirit came out. The interpretation has to come from the Spirit. And so we understand that this is not something that can be learned or taught. It's a gift. It has nothing to do with the mind or the intellect of man. It is a supernatural, vocal miracle. It's an inspirational gift. It's a gift that inspires. It says something that lifts you up, that edifies you, that comforts you, that exhorts you. And of course, we learned about the gift of prophecy, which in its purest form speaks unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And tongues, when it is accompanied with the sister gift of the interpretation, has the same anointing to comfort, to edify, and to exhort the church, the body of Christ. Now, let me give you some purposes for speaking in other tongues. People say, well, why do we do if I don't know what I'm saying, I don't understand it, and people don't understand it, then why it's nonsense. Why should we even bother with it? Why do we even need it? Well, we need it basically because God evidently determined that we needed it, because He's the one that said it in the church. This isn't something that man thought up. This is something that God initiated. So the purpose of speaking in tongues is, number one, to worship God or to speak to God in divine mysteries. To worship God or to speak to God in divine mysteries. Now let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries." Now, if you look up the word mysteries in the Greek, one definition of that is divine secrets. You're speaking to God divine secrets. Now, if you drop down to verse 14 and 15 in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." In other words, the prayer, the language, the speech is coming not out of my head, but out of my spirit. So my mind is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit. That means I will pray out of my spirit. And I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Now, when I pray or sing with my mind, I'm doing that in my native language. If my native language is English, I'm singing in English, I'm praying in English. But if I am praying or singing in the Spirit, I'm doing that in other tongues. So it goes to show you that you can pray in other tongues, and you can also sing in other tongues. And you will, if you pay close enough attention, you will experience or see that happening in a worship service. I really believe that when the Holy Spirit is moving, if we will just allow it to happen, we can enter into that time of worship and praise when the Spirit just begins to bubble up inside of us and flow out of us in a harmonious a psalm, a hymn unto the Lord. The Bible talks about spiritual songs and making melody in our heart to the Lord. And it comes out of the Spirit. Even Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, "For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." And that's what this experience of the Holy Spirit is. Number two, for the purpose of speaking in other tongues, is to edify ourselves and to build ourselves up spiritually. Now let me repeat that. It is to edify ourselves and to build ourselves up spiritually, but not mentally. Again, in praying or speaking in other tongues, it literally bypasses your mind because it comes out of your spirit. So your mind is unfruitful. Your mind is not getting anything from this. Now, scripture for that, 1 Corinthians 14 again, but let's look at verse 4 and verse 18. The fourth verse of 1 Corinthians 14 says, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church." Then in verse 18, Paul says, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all." So we see that Paul obviously put great emphasis on praying and speaking in tongues. And why was that? Because he wanted to build himself up spiritually. He wanted to edify himself spiritually. Now in the King James Version, there's a verse in the book of Jude, that little epistle, and it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So praying in other tongues is going to build you up. It's going to edify you in your spirit. Now, I'll say this, and because this has been my personal experience, and I believe every Christian who practices praying regularly in other tongues can probably say the same thing, that I believe that it's God's cure for depression. I don't believe you need to take medication. You don't need to go see a psychiatrist. What you need to do is get on your face before God and start crying out and praying in other tongues, because what happens is the Spirit begins to edify you, begins to lift you up, and that spirit of heaviness is gone. There's even, I can't think of the exact quote, but it's one of the Old Testament prophets, I think it's Isaiah, talks about the spirit of heaviness is replaced with a spirit of praise. And we sing that little song, "I put on my garment of praise, I put on my garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness is gone from me." When we pray and praise God in other tongues, it will edify us, it will build us up. And that's why I practice it every single day. I need it. I need to be encouraged. I need to be edified. And I believe in the Old Testament, when David wrote the Psalms, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But one of the passages in the Old Testament, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And in the Old Testament, what they encouraged themselves with was prayer and reading the Scriptures. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them like we do. The Holy Spirit would come upon them, but as New Testament believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we'll find out that the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues are the only two gifts that are exclusively manifested in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, 7 of them operated in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. But tongues and interpretation was added in the New Covenant, in the dispensation of grace. Why is that? I believe God knew that we would need to edify ourselves. We would need to be built up spiritually. And so you think about that. If you are a Spirit-filled Christian and you have times of depression or you don't feel good or you're feeling lousy or whatever, force yourself to pray in tongues. It's got to come as an automatic response. Just start praying in other tongues, and you're going to find out it will lift depression off of you quicker than anything that you could ever take or anything that anybody could ever tell you. Now, Paul goes into this a little deeper in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter when he talks about the Holy Spirit, and this is, again, one of the purposes for speaking in other tongues, to edify ourselves and to build ourselves up spiritually. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, Paul says, "In the same way, the Holy Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." When you are praying in other tongues, you are praying in accordance with God's perfect will. Now, your mind will be unfruitful. You won't know what you're saying. But the beautiful thing about it is nobody knows what you're saying except God. That means the devil cannot intercept your prayers. The devil doesn't know what you're saying. He doesn't understand what you're saying. And that's why it's such a beautiful way to pray. Because there are times, just like he says here, we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. In other words, in the Greek New Testament, it says in a speech or in a language that we ourselves are not able to articulate. I can't put into words, God, what I want to say here. I don't have the mental capacity to express myself to you in my own language. But the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us, and He speaks to God exactly what we need. So when I don't know how to pray, or somebody comes up to me and says, "Well, I want you to pray with me about this," and they give me the prayer request, and I don't know what God's will is either about that particular situation maybe. So I say, "Well, I'll pray with you that God's will be done, but let's pray in tongues for a while too, because the Holy Spirit is going to take what knowledge we have and then mix the knowledge of God with it, and He will present it to God in perfect line with the will of God for that situation." That's why praying in tongues is such a powerful tool. That's why the devil fights it so hard. That's why he doesn't want Christians to pray in tongues. That's why Christians who are born again, who have their names written in the book of life, who know that they're saved and know that they're going to heaven, oftentimes don't take the next step and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they don't see any benefit to it. What's the purpose of it? It just sounds like gibberish to me. I don't understand it. And in fact, I'm a little bit afraid of it. Or I don't want to be a fanatic, or I don't want to be criticized for it or whatever. But you see, that's just the devil talking you out of something good that God wants you to have. Now, has nothing to do with your salvation, has nothing to do with you going to heaven. You don't have to speak in tongues if you don't want to. It's a gift. It's like somebody offering you a gift. You don't have to take it. You can say no thank you, and God won't be mad at you or upset with you. But it's like any gift that's offered and accepted, there's always a reason for it. If God didn't want us to have it, he would not offer it to us. And when God offers us something, there's always a purpose for it, a reason for it. And I'm telling you, with over almost 35 years of experience in my life, I can say, and God knows my heart, and I have a clear conscience, that there probably, from the time I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I became a born-again Christian in March of 1975. I was water baptized and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When I come up out of the waters of water baptism, they immersed me in the water and came up, and the pastor and the elders of the church were standing there with me, and he said, "Would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I said, "I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what it is, but if it's from God, I want everything God has for me." And they laid hands on me, and they prayed for me, and in the next minute or two, I started speaking in a language I didn't even know what it was, and that was in June of 1975, and from that day until now, there probably hasn't been, I couldn't count on both hands, and I say this with a clear conscience, probably not 10 days in the last 35 years that I haven't prayed in tongues. And sometimes I've prayed in tongues for hours, literal hours at a time. When I make these drives sometimes to the East Coast, and it's a 15-hour drive, I have spent as much as 7 to 8 hours praying in tongues. I prayed in tongues so much that I was so dry in my throat, I had to stop and get something to drink. Why did I do that? Because when I'm going somewhere to minister, I don't know what's up ahead. I don't know what challenges are up there. I don't know what the needs of those people are. I don't know what I'm going to come up against, but God does. And when I spend that time praying and praying and praying, it's like supercharging your batteries. It's like a rechargeable battery, putting it on something and just building it up till it's full power. So when I go somewhere to minister, I just feel fully charged. I'm ready to go. I'm saying, you know, whatever the devil, bring it on, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and I'm full. And so we need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the third reason or purpose for speaking in other tongues is to give thanks and to pray for the saints. To give thanks for and to pray for the saints. Now, let me explain something to you here, because I know in some backgrounds, some Christian church backgrounds, when we use the word saints, we're thinking of some special people that have been recognized and canonized by the church as being exceptionally holy people. But that's not the Bible interpretation of who a saint is. I've often heard it put very simply this way: you're either a saint or an ain't. If you are a born-again Christian, you are a saint. That's not because of your works, not because of your goodness or your intelligence or anything you've done. It's just that God has declared you a saint, just like He declares you righteous. He declares you holy. He declares you a saint. I mean, right now we got St. April, St. Susie, St. Jennifer, St. Doc, St. Adam, St. Darlene, St. Bob, hallelujah, St. Bob, 63 today. St. Christy, St. George, St. Chris, St. Loretta, and me, Saint. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 says this: do not get drunk with wine. Look at your neighbor and say, do not get drunk with wine. For it is dissipation. Or that it's not profitable, it's not a good thing. But be filled with the Spirit. Or in the Greek New Testament, it says be being filled with the Spirit. Being a Spirit-filled Christian is an ongoing experience. Be being filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. Somebody said, why do you have to keep being filled with the Spirit? And I used to jokingly say, well, because if you're a Christian, you're holy. And if you're holy, you leak. So really, that's the purpose for having the Holy Spirit, is so you do overflow on other people. You give of yourself, you have to be refilled, recharged. But he says here, do not get drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, now watch this, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So here is one of the things that we do. We pray and give thanks for the saints, the other believers. Chapter 6, verse 18 even clarifies this when it says in Ephesians 6, 8, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. When we're praying in other tongues, be mindful to pray for each other. That's the main purpose that we have a prayer and fellowship list. We can contact each other, we can call each other, we can send cards to each other. But the main thing is we should be praying for each other every day. When I'm praying in tongues, you know, George may be on a bus somewhere. I don't know what he's doing, but God knows where he's at. God knows exactly what he's doing. And when I pray for him, I go down the prayer and fellowship list and get the W's. There's Withers, there's April, there's Darlene, there's George. I just say, Lord, I just declare your kingdom come, your will be done in the Withers family today. And then start praying in tongues for a little while until I sense in my spirit God says move on. And I have an assurance that God's watching over them and meeting their needs and taking care of them. That's praying for and making intercession and petition for the saints. Now notice I said to pray for the saints, but not to pray to the saints. We do not pray to saints. In fact, in some segments of Christianity, in some denominations, they have saints for different things. There's pray to this saint for this, pray to this saint for that, pray to this saint for that. And that is a totally man-made idea. It has no biblical foundation whatsoever. It's like somebody said, I would never say anything bad about Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she is the mother of Jesus. And somebody once said, you know what happens if you talk bad about somebody's mama? So I don't say anything bad about his mother, but I do not pray to her because she can't help me. She can't do anything for me. I do not pray to the apostles because they can't do anything for me. They have no mediatorial position in the body of Christ. You say, why do you say that and how can you say that? Because I base that on what the Bible says, not what denomination says, not what man says. But in 1 Timothy 2:5, the Scripture says, there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So, not even the Pope. He's not a mediator. As a pastor, I'm not a mediator between you and God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God where He ever lives to make intercession. He is our mediator. He is the one that is the go-between. He is the one that makes our prayers acceptable to the Father. It's His shed blood that gives us access into the presence of the Father. And so we see that another purpose for speaking in other tongues is to give thanks and to pray for the saints. Last but not least, another purpose for praying in other tongues is a continual rest and refreshing in the Lord. And I found that to be so true. It gives you a continual rest and refreshing in the Lord. The scripture for that is Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. The prophet said, indeed, He will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. He who said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose. But they would not listen. You see, that's kind of bittersweet because he's saying this gift of stammering lips and another tongue, praying in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, is for rest for the weary. It's to bring refreshing. He said, but unfortunately, many would not listen. They won't listen. People go, I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't see the purpose of it. And because of that, they don't receive the benefit. And I just say to every one of you, if you don't and you can't speak in other tongues, then you have the potential if you desire to. And it's not something that I would try to force on anybody. I believe it's something you should desire. Too many times I've seen it try to be forced on people, and that's why they got turned off by it. It's not something that you just, you know, just drop on somebody. But it is a gift, and it's a gift from the Lord. Now, speaking in other tongues is mainly a private devotional gift. Speaking in other tongues is mainly a private devotional gift. But oftentimes it's manifested in a public setting, just like it was this evening. Now let me give you what the Scripture says about it. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 18 and 19, is the private use. Paul says in verse 18 and 19, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. He said, it's more beneficial for me to speak to you five words that will instruct you in your language if you understand what I'm saying, than if I stood here and spoke 10,000 words in tongues and you didn't get anything out of it. So what he's saying is, those 10,000 words in tongues would be better spent in private devotional time and speak them to the Lord and not to people, because the people aren't going to understand a thing you say. They're not going to get anything out of it. So it's better to speak in a public setting in your native tongue where people understand, unless that tongue is interpreted by somebody. Then it's appropriate. Okay? Now that's the private. How about the public setting? We look in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, and look at verses 26 through 28. Paul says, let me go over to where I'm at. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 28. He says, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So here we're seeing that speaking in tongues in a public setting is perfectly acceptable and appropriate only when there is an interpreter. If there is not an interpreter, then the person who has that anointing and that utterance in tongues should keep it to himself, should speak to God in his heart and not out loud for everybody else, because that would create confusion. People say, well, what's he saying? Well, I don't know what he's saying. Well, then why is he doing it? Well, I don't know. He shouldn't be doing it. And it just creates confusion. Now, in this congregation, we're familiar enough with each other, and Craig and Chris and I pray together often enough, and we've seen it that I know that one of the gifts of the Spirit that God's placed in me is the gift of interpretation. So anybody could give an utterance in tongues here and feel comfortable that it's going to be interpreted, because there is at least one interpreter. And sometimes I hold back because I believe there are more than one interpreter in the church. We all need to start getting out of our comfort zone and start letting God use us. I didn't say anything about it. Maybe we'll talk about it in prayer tomorrow night. But I was really excited Sunday morning when Craig spoke in tongues, because that's the first time he's ever done that. I know he prays in tongues and in prayer, but that was the first time that he gave a public utterance with an interpretation. But that was because the anointing of God is growing in his life. And that's a fulfillment of prophecy where the Lord spoke to him a while back and said he wanted him to start manifesting in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's good. That's a good thing. Now, God also set the gift of tongues in the church. This is something you need to take into consideration. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 through 31, it says this. And God has appointed, in my Bible margin for that word appointed, that God has set in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues, or divers kinds of tongues. Now, if God has set this gift in the church, there's got to be a purpose for it. Amen? God doesn't do things just indiscriminately. He has a purpose for it. God set the gift of tongues in the church. Now, verse 29 says, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Well, the obvious answer to that question is no. Not everybody is an apostle. No, not everybody is going to prophesy. No, not everybody is going to speak in tongues. But, hold on, some people use that as an out and say, well, see there, it says not everybody speaks in tongues. In its context, he's talking about ministry tongues. The tongues that you heard in this meeting tonight, a congregational tongue, a ministry tongue where an utterance is given and interpretation is given. Not everybody will do that. But everybody who receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit will speak in tongues. And you can, after receiving the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues in your private devotional time. So consider that. Another thing we need to see is the Scripture is very clear and very strong in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39 and 40, that nobody should be forbidden to speak in tongues. Verse 39 says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. And that's the thing. A lot of times, charismatic Christians, Pentecostal Christians, because of a lack of teaching and maybe a lack of spiritual leadership in the congregation, will sometimes get out of hand with spiritual gifts, and somebody might just go off on a rampage. I mean, they're loving God. They're over there praying in tongues out loud and everything, and they're just loving God, but they don't realize they're creating confusion because there may be people there going, what's that? What's he saying? Why is he saying that? How come there's no interpreter? You see, we need to understand that the gift of tongues is under our control. We don't have to speak in tongues. We get to, if God has given us that gift, we can pray in tongues. And there is a different anointing. I don't know how else to explain it other than when we're in a worship time and the Spirit of God is moving, you will just sense in the Spirit when it's like somebody turning the light switch on and things get brighter. You will just know when an utterance is going to happen. I mean, Chris could pray in tongues anytime he wants to because he's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he could pray in tongues anytime he wants to. But what he did tonight was not praying in tongues. What he did tonight was the gift of tongues. It was a ministry tongue. It's different than the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's different than the devotional tongue when he prays to the Lord in private. It was a ministry tongue. And you know the difference in the anointing, don't you? When God is, it's just like it comes up and you go, I got to let this out. But God will always do it also decently and in order, will not cause confusion. because that's the way God does things. He does things decently and in order. Now, to wrap this up and conclude, Jesus said that believers would speak in tongues. In the Great Commission in Mark 16, he said, "These signs will follow them that believe." Verse 17, he said, "They shall speak with new tongues." So it's available. It's there for any believer. If they want to speak in other tongues, they can. They just need somebody to instruct them in how to receive. And, you know, that's very obvious that anybody can if they desire it. Also, I want to say, because you'll hear this in certain circles of Christianity, that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today because we have a Bible and we don't need these gifts. They were for the apostles, and when the last apostle died, the gifts ceased. But it's very obvious if you follow church history over the last 2,000 years, the gifts of the Spirit have not ceased and tongues have not ceased. They use this passage of Scripture, but in essence, they are misusing it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. It says, "Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." What Paul was saying here is that until the perfect comes, and that's Jesus, there's still going to be a need for prophecy. There's still going to be a need for knowledge. Prophecy hasn't ceased, knowledge hasn't ceased, and there's a definite need for the ministry gift of tongues in the body of Christ. They have not ceased. People often misunderstand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and especially the gift of speaking in other tongues. The reason for that, number one, people often ask about it, and most Christians cannot explain it sufficiently. Somebody might ask you about it. You have to ask yourself the question, if somebody asked me about speaking in tongues and to give a clear definition and explanation of it, could you? I would hope that you could. After listening to this, I hope you have a better grasp of understanding the gift of tongues. Secondly, it's always manifest when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is the most widely distributed gift, and it is the most widely misunderstood gift of the Holy Spirit, because people often ask about it and most cannot explain it sufficiently. It is always manifest when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is the most widely distributed and used gift in public meetings, as tonight we experienced. It is distinctive to this grace dispensation. It was not given in the Old Testament, as I said earlier. Seven of the nine gifts were manifested in the Old Covenant, but tongues and interpretation are exclusive to the New Testament, which shows you God has a purpose for them. And lastly, Paul gave it much attention because now, as then, it was greatly misunderstood and abused. It is a gift that is under the control of the speaker. Chris had an utterance in tongues tonight, but he also had control of his spirit. He chose to surrender and submit to the Lord, but he could have kept his mouth shut. He did not have to give that utterance. He could have quenched the spirit, but he's sensitive enough and wise enough to know that when God gives that anointing, there's a reason for it. When he gave the utterance, the interpretation came, and we were all edified by the message that God gave. So I hope that will help you to understand more clearly the gift of divers kinds of tongues.